Yeah, so what are we doing? Starting it from the top?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you got any intros or anything to
talk about? Yeah. No, my dad's in town.
I know that, but I'm just saying, do you have anything specifically you want to talk about?
Everyone's been flying. Airports. Oh, airports are always good talk.
Yeah.
Anybody farting on a plane? That's the worst.
How well Americans pay attention, you know, to instructions.
Absolutely.
So it's absolutely amazing. It's incredible.
Listen, it's like, yeah.
We're a focused country. We're focused on.
Very aware.
I feel like you're being ironic or facetious. I feel like you're not being sincere on that one.
Not at all. But we were downtown today, and there was like a biker, and he had headphones in, and he like kind of went. He crossed the street, like he biked across the street when he wasn't really supposed to, and like a guy was making a left-hand turn, and the guy like rolled down his window to make a point to yell at the biker. Like, what did he say? Something about, oh, you ever heard of a red light? Because he didn't have the right of way or whatever.
Right.
Kid had headphones in, he didn't even hear him anyway, so it's just, what a waste.
But I would do that. That would be me too. Yeah. I'd be yelling out, hey, jag off, watch out for the red light.
But you ought to do what this one driver did. Just basically cut in front of him, and the dude went flying. Like, his front tire hit the side of the fender.
Ooh,
he flew on the hood. And then hit landed on the other side of the car. I giggled for about 5 minutes. I thought, because the dude was hurt. I mean, he wasn't, like, hospital hurt, but he was like,
ouch.
Aching.
Yeah, my bike is messed up. Ow, this is going to hurt tomorrow. Hurt. But I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Not paying attention. Well, yeah, on the airports, people are not paying attention.
Yeah. What did you observe in the airports?
Oh, you know, it's like, okay, we'll start boarding people that need assistance. And, you know, people that need assistance, people with small children, and what was the other one? Oh, Frontier, they do, if you don't have an overhead luggage bag, they'll let you on early.
Wow.
And so, which it all made sense. It was like, wow, that's really good. And like, you know, you look and there's like 10 people with, you know, they're pulling carts and they're up and they're trying to hand the thing to the guy, and he's like, no. To his credit, he was like, no.
Not your turn.
And you hear me.
Yeah. And then he gets back on there and says it again, you know, okay, one more time. We're boarding, you know, people that need assistance. And, you know, you can tell he's like, you freaking idiot. Is anybody paying attention? Yeah.
It is annoying.
No, nobody's paying attention. All they hear is people can get on the plane.
Yeah, that's all they hear.
Must be me.
And it's a race. Yep. It's a race to get on a plane.
And all you do is sit.
Yeah, like you're going, like it's going to be that much faster. You know what I mean?
And then it's a race to get off.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know, and it's like, you know, everybody gets up. I mean, if you're 25th row, you know, why are you getting up and opening the thing, dragging your shit out, hitting the guy right there? Oh, boom, hit him on the head. Oh, sorry, dude. It's like, just sit down.
I'm not going anywhere.
You know, you just freaking sit down for a minute. And the little Oriental guy, I mean, he don't understand, you know.
Yeah, he don't.
He's got his backpack on. He's standing up, you know, like this.
For the people who can't see,
underneath the overhead thing. And he's like this for like 20 minutes while the plane's emptying, you know.
Idiot.
And it's like, just sit down. Relax.
Some people, that's the way it is. Impatience. But you would think in this time and age that they would have developed another exit out the back.
A double exit. Yeah.
Out the back, the way, you know, it converges.
They could make that jetway thing. They could make another little thing.
Yep.
Yeah, easy.
Double exit.
Easy. Man. See, where are we?
And hook it to the rear. There's a door back there.
I'm telling you.
Because they service the back of the plane over the food and the.
Yeah.
See, double exit.
Look at that.
Perfect.
$1 million idea.
We could make a
lot
of money.
Why aren't they talking to us?
Revolutionize the airplane industry.
We sell to the company that makes, the company I work for sells steel to the company that makes those jetway things.
See, they talk to somebody.
I need to call them up.
Double exit.
When you get paid three ways,
right?
We got it on
documented.
Documented.
Yep. It's out there.
Welcome to Jason's Basement.
Jason's Basement. We always do that. Again. We never introduce the podcast right when it starts. We always take
Yeah, we're really on.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Oh.
Jason'sBasement.net. Welcome. Welcome. Very special podcast. Hard Ass Brown. Right. My father is in the building.
Yes.
Yep.
With Jason.
Hard Ass Brown.
The originator of the basement. I used to hang out in my parents' basement. It's pretty dark and kind of cramped down there, but there was this little nook. Well, they had to do some work down there. Half the house, like, sunk out, and they had to pour. How much concrete did you pour down there?
Oh, it was a lot. Like, we had to jack the house up and pour, like, 15 yards because of the foundation fell away.
Out.
And
oh,
washed yeah. away. And
washed away or something.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
It was bad. But yeah,
old house. You
used to hang out in the basement at my parents' house. Now my dad's here hanging out in the basement. Jason's
you got a
basement,
nice basement,
the podcast.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer than my basement.
You could actually hang out down here.
Right, there's room and stuff. You can stand up even.
Nope. All right, now how did you come across the name Hard Ass? I would like to know.
It's a what's
and
the word?
Welcome. His head has not been slapped.
What's the word? what's the word I'm using here? It's a misnomer.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, I don't know.
He's really not that
actually
much of a hard ass.
There was one of Jason's friends, Tim, great kid, just the most polite young man. You know, at age 16, he's calling me Mr. Brown, you know, he come to the house. Hi, Mr. Brown. How
probably,
are you?
Probably the most polite of all of my friends, actually.
Right.
Like,
very
literally
polite.
All of them.
Was he pulling Eddie Haskell?
He might have been doing it. But anyway, I think, you know, we were having a party and his parents were there and Jason's friends were there and, having a few drinks. And, you know, I probably had a couple drinks and Tim came in. Hey, Mr. Brown. I'm like, Tim. You know, you don't have to call me Mr. Brown. You can call me Jeff, you can call me JB, or you can call me Hardass. And then I was Hardass from that. That was it. It stuck.
It was there.
Know? Oh, you did
and,
it there.
And then, of course, all the kids were called with Hardass because, you know, we had a garage, so the band practiced in my garage. And I walked around the neighborhood apologizing to everybody all the time, you know. The drums are banging away and... you know,
and we play with the door open.
Well,
you know,
didn't
we
matter.
Play with the door open.
Yeah, with
it didn't
those
matter.
Kids.
With the door closed, it didn't matter.
Kids. It's still loud, though.
But they were good. They didn't do it late at night.
No.
You know, it was usually like after school and in the afternoon.
Okay. And not too bad.
So, yeah, the garage band. We still got the wall there with all the pictures and they wrote on my sheetrock wall there. And, you know,
vandalized it.
Yeah, a little graffiti, you know. And we saved it. Yeah. You know.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
You know, remember the kids by.
Yeah, yep. And we have another thing we do in the garage with the old guys. We do March Madness in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And
they put the big board up.
Yeah, we do that thing that's not legal, gambling, you know.
That's right.
Hey, we're gambling. In
it's
Utah.
Not, it's not gambling. It's money exchanging hands between friends.
It's recreational and entertainment. Yeah.
Exactly. It's
right.
not gambling.
Not gambling.
Right.
So, yeah. Not gambling.
We do
not gambling at all.
But the band, you know,
Mr.
there's the remnants of the band. They're still there.
Hello. Welcome on in.
Approved.
Mrs. Brown, approved. Come on.
Oh, Mrs. Brown's here.
So, yeah.
I could use another one of those.
Oh, great. Here's Mrs. Brown.
Here's another beer, woman.
She didn't want to come in here. She didn't want to come in here.
Love it.
Oh, classic.
Yeah. Just classic.
Then come back. You want to take my spot?
No, thank you. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'll just get you another beer.
Atta girl.
So, I got something we can talk
She's
about.
She's awesome.
I got something we can... So, we went to Target Field. We took the train all the way down to Target Field.
Right.
And saw the new Target Field. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, you know? Twins. Got a nice outdoor Target Field thing. Right at the end of the train, you know, all the people could get on the train, come from the suburbs, go see the Twins.
Right.
Vikings want to take their stadium. They want to go out into the suburbs, man, far away from
that
everybody.
Makes no sense.
Who?
The Vikings want to build that new stadium.
Where?
Way Apple out. Valley or something?
Apple Valley? Hell no. They want to buy my house.
Google it. They want to build it somewhere.
Shit. That is stupid.
Yeah.
Have all that traffic coming into my... That small... they have to accommodate.
Don't quote me on Apple Valley, but they want to go not far away. Where they are right now, yeah. Basically.
Dude, they need to try to win some games before they start telling where they want to go. They want to win a championship somewhere.
Well, somewhere.
They'll hold them hostage, see? Because they'll tell the city, you know, if you don't build us a new stadium, we're going to move.
Move, yeah. Right.
Where? Who going to have you? Well, who want to move a losing team?
Who's going to miss? We got the Wild. We got the Twins. Mm-hmm. We got the we have plenty of pro teams.
Yeah, cut that out before you say
it. We have pro teams. We got
cut
pro
that
teams.
Out before you say Timberwolves.
Talk to my pop over here. You go to Salt Lake, what you got? The Jazz.
The Utah Jazz.
But at least they're consistent. Well,
but NBA basketball is a joke, man. Yeah. It's like, it's just bad. They're going to be on strike, and the football's on strike.
Yeah. You know, complaining about millions.
I love football. I mean, I can't believe they might not play. I think they'll figure it out, but
what
is it? They got like $900 billion, mm-hmm. and they can't figure out how to split it up. Fairly,
they can't strike, because if they strike arguing over this amount of money when a job economy is the way it is, and they're arguing over all these billions of dollars.
People forget though; they come back. Baseball did that crap. I don't watch baseball. I used to play baseball. I used to love watching it, and I don't watch it anymore. Hmm. You know,
they can't afford to. They can't afford to, because if they go off this season, then. You know, people just ain't gonna tune in. I'm on the fence with them anyway.
That was your beer, Jason. That was in the freezer.
That's fine.
He's drinking.
There you go.
But remember that 6 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got here chatting minutes. With these guys.
That's right.
And that's what
I put
happened.
Another one in there. I got my timer on. Nice.
Perfect.
Down to you.
Perfect.
Right on.
Your parents are all right. I want to switch. Can
they
I
are.
Switch?
Trade?
Can we trade? Can we trade parents?
Our house was the house.
Really?
Kids hung out, man. Because the band was in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
Band was in the garage, and then, you know, my mom cooks great food, so it's like people were hanging out.
Yeah,
you
know? That's good,
people
though.
Were around.
We can keep an eye on them, too.
I sort of kept
big
an eye
yard.
On.
Well, yep. You know, but if they're in the vicinity, it's easier to you know, not have to worry about what's going on.
Yep.
And that's
Dane, my buddy Dane, he had the computers, so we go over there and play computers. But, like, they didn't have, like, the food, and they didn't have, like, stuff like that. So, it was just, my house was the hangout house.
Really?
That's where people were hanging out.
That's why I want my house to be the hangout house, too.
Yeah? With your little man?
Yeah, you know.
You're going to be the cool dad.
Nah, I'm going to be the uncool dad.
The uncool dad? But you're a rapper. You're a rapper.
I'm going to be so uncool, it's going to be ridiculous. Because if you think
about
it.
Are you going to be a hard ass?
Yes. If you think about it, look at all the kids that you knew whose parents were, quote, unquote, cool. And now look at the kids when they all grown up. My parents were not cool, but they were overly strict. So I'm sort of like hip, but footloose and fancy free. So I'm kind of the opposite of what my parents are. Now, kids that I grew up with whose parents were cool.
And let them get away with stuff.
Yeah, you look at them now, they're all messed up.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so I'm not going to listen to any music before 1990. I mean, after any music, not everything's gonna be old school. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna have black socks on with sandals, cut off dicky shorts. I'm just dressed the most and act the most uncool way that I can think of.
And play old music.
And that's it. Talking lingo that my kids don't understand.
That's right.
I'm gonna just do everything I can to be uncool, and that way my kid will be embarrassed of me.
But then he'll respect you.
Oh, yeah, when he gets older, then he'll come back and realize, oh, okay, I get it.
Okay.
Got it.
You're not going to be your friend. I'm going to be your dad.
Got it.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a real hard thing to do.
I know.
I had to be a dad a lot. He was good. Jason
was
good.
He's all right, kid. You know, ever since we broke up, he's been cool.
He liked to share almost a little too much sometimes. Like, whoa, I don't know if I need all that information. Because when you get all that information, then you got to go, as a parent, you got to kind of go, do I need to call that other parent and share what I know now? That
fine line, yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard one. or just pay the bill. Yeah, there you go. Mrs. Brown piping in from the background, just pay the bill. Just
pay the bill.
We did a few of those, just pay the bill, yeah, huh, honey? Did. Yep.
Yeah. Joey Davis.
Joey Davis.
Oh, calling him out! Oh. Putting you on blast,
dog! I don't even know you, but I feel sorry for you.
Joey, he's a trip.
Just don't show your dad, Joey.
Exactly.
Right.
Don't show your dad, Sloth.
Don't let Mike listen.
Don't let Sloth's dad hear. Talking about old music, that's a good segue into the review.
Not yet.
Oh no!
I thought we were going to get into a topic.
I thought that was the topic. No, how hard ass. Topic. No,
that was chewing fat. My topic is, what is the best musical decade?
The best musical decade. Okay, well, you go first.
It's not now, I can tell you that much.
Amen. Amen. We need that sound. Not approved. We need not approved.
Not approved.
Not approved.
There it is.
Right. There it is.
If I had to say the best musical period, it's a toss up between the 80s, but I'm going to choose the 70s.
I think it's the 70s.
70s.
Yeah.
Everybody?
Unanimous.
I think it's the 70s.
Yeah. I love the soul and the funk coming out of the 70s, but I also love the rock, Led Zeppelin, these guys. Hendrix.
Well, some of those 60s groups were still 60s, kicking butt in the 70s, you know, like the Beatles were still, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I give them props, early even 70s. Though I'm not into the Beatles, but I give them props.
Oh, yeah.
70s
they did
for
a
sure.
They did a lot of
That
things.
Was the boom,
they
though.
They changed a lot of things.
That's the boom. Mm-hmm. That's like the boom. That's when...
Yeah, because we're still listening to a lot of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's still resonating even now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you can tell a lot of guys that done ripped off Hendrix or...
Right.
You know, Plant or any of the other guys, all these guys that done ripped off all these old artists.
Oh, yeah.
Or even a lot of the R&B and soul people.
Oh, completely.
Ripped. Yeah.
Completely. So, yeah, I guess 70s. I guess that wasn't much of a topic at all. I can argue and say 80s was pretty prevalent.
I think 80s didn't do it for me too much. No, just too much synthesized. Everyone got into technology. Mm-hmm. Everyone was really loving
I know, and that's what I'm saying. That sort of was the pivotal moment where it changed from... just like you had all the music from the 70s changed in the 80s and the 90s when you had the glam rock sort of in the late 80s into the early 90s and it switched from the grunge and into the grunge into this new metal thing that switched. Every 5 years it seemed like it was changing.
Well, and I think it's a push-pull. You know, it's like, so 70s was an explosion and live music was huge.
Oh, yeah. It was.
You know? People go to festivals. It's like all about seeing the bands.
Right.
Like, who wants to go see a band? And they would go watch them for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Zeppelin would play a show and they would play for 3 hours.
Yep.
And they would just solo
or
they
you'd
would
go
rock
to some festival for like
3 days.
Watkins Glen. I remember going there. It was 73 maybe, I think. I don't know. I lose track. 73.
73 is when you graduated from high school in 72.
I think, I might be wrong, but I think it was 500,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
For like three days.
Amount. Crazy. Days.
There's no fans nowadays.
Well, know, and then what happened in the 80s is like, I think video kind of started taking over. People started getting into video.
Yeah. That was a...
And technology, that's what I mean, technology started playing. Because there was a lot more synthesizers and things like that.
But that's then 70s was like live shows.
Live.
Outdoors.
Everything was
big,
live.
Big, huge stadiums, live.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And even the smaller venues, you know, you saw... Mom saw The Who a couple times, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
In like an ice skating, like a hockey arena.
Look at that Buffalo.
You know, that might hold, I don't know, 15,000 or 20,000 tops. You know, see The Who.
It was the War Memorial in Buffalo. I saw him last time.
In Syracuse, you saw him too.
Syracuse, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they used to hold...
Yep. 20. But now people...
There's
you can
no
thank
music
the Beatles.
Like that.
You can thank the Beatles, though, because the Beatles stopped touring.
Mm-hmm.
They just put out albums.
Right.
So then people are like, well, I can just put out an album. Mm-hmm. I don't got to tour anymore, and I don't got to go play in 50 states.
Well, they were so
states.
Big, they made those deals like, well, we get this amount of money off the album.
Yeah.
You know, so and that's what sort of flipped the game around to where now it's about the album sales. But if you look at it now, people still have to play.
They do.
Yeah, because
now
the
they
record
do.
Companies are, you know... lubing up and taking everything
and because recorded media just overall is more accessible. Like people don't, you can't download a live concert, you can't take that experience and get it for free on the internet, you know what I mean? But like someone records an album and if you look hard enough you can get it for free.
Yeah.
Or you can get it cheap Because if you did it digital, they're not paying for printing and shipping and things, so they drop the price. So that's just less money on the other end because they can't hike it up as much or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like the live show's coming back. I feel like live music will make a revival soon.
Yeah, I hope so, man, because the music they playing now is just, oh, it's garbage.
I can't even stand it.
Yeah.
We talk about it almost every podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's what I told them when, that's how you know when you're getting old.
When you can't stand the music of the day.
And when it's not can't stand, it's that you don't understand it.
Yeah.
I just think, like, you know, I've seen him live a bunch. I haven't seen you live, but, you know.
Here I am.
Yeah, you're live now.
Thank goodness.
All right. You know, I can't go watch something where there's no instruments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love to see... watch the guitar player or watch the drummer, you know, and even if it's too loud or it's not loud enough or you can't hear the vocals, you can still watch the people, you know, making the music versus, you know, pushing the button on this thing.
Right.
And all that, you know, all that stuff comes from over here and it's like, well, there's no band. Where's the band? You know, I mean, live bands are great. You know, they're just fun, you know, whether it's, you know, jazz music in a little pub or a big production where, you know, we went to see, you know, us old folks, we went to see the Eagles, you know, live.
McCartney, I mean, awesome.
In a stadium.
Rio Tinto Stadium.
And it was fun. It was it was fun. You could tell those guys were enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were up there having a good time and the people loved it. And then we saw McCartney live and that was even better. That was... You know, of course, I'm an old guy, so I like that stuff. But yeah, live music with real musicians is awesome.
It? Yeah, yep. And like what you're talking about, the digital thing, like I think it has to do with a lot of us being so antisocial. Because you can't be in a band with people nowadays. You can barely be in the same room with a lot of people.
Right.
You know, and I guess the point I'm trying to get at is like
this allows you to be like in your own world.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with other people now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. Like me personally, I would love to have a band. Love to, but trying to get four or five other people together at one time nowadays. Right.
Commitment.
It's almost impossible. Yeah. You know, and
commitment plus, and teamwork
and personalities. You know, people don't know how to work together anymore. So
totally.
Yeah, but anyway.
Because you can walk away and go. You know. Yeah,
like, all right, that's all right. We don't need a drummer.
Yeah.
Yep, done.
Well, look, we went to Liquid Joe's there and saw Jessie Davis. She was awesome.
Yeah, live.
Well, she's a band. She's got a band.
She's got a band.
Oh, yeah.
Got a band. It was
wonderful. Joey played drums. And,
oh, yeah.
And one of the guys you know played guitar.
Justin.
And,
yep.
And bass. It was great. I mean, awesome. Some of the sound wasn't great sound. You know, it was too loud. You couldn't quite hear the vocals every once in a while. But you were watching them up there performing, and they were enjoying it, and you know we were all enjoying it too. You know, we were, you know, tapping our foot and
that's part of it.
Yeah, you'll never see the band come back as long as they got Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Yeah, video
and
games,
all that, just, right? You know, nonsense that you can synthesize now. So I mean,
yep,
yeah,
absurd. So. Well, the 70s. That's it. That's it right there.
Oh, service. Okay, thank you.
70s, yep.
The 70s, that's
two
the one.
Two fingers is enough.
Yep,
that's the one.
That's my era. That's mom and I, you know, we went to a lot of concerts.
Holy
cow.
Some ice cubes, Jay?
Nope.
I can remember going, we went to school in upstate New York, and I can remember going to Cornell to a bar that was tiny, and I saw George Benson, and he didn't sing. He just played his guitar. He was a jazz guitar player, and he had a keyboard guy, and he had a drummer. But when he was playing his guitar, there was a microphone there, but it wasn't like right in his face, you know, for singing. He used it to talk in between the songs. He'd lean forward and talk into it. But he's over there playing an electric guitar, and he was great. He's a great jazz guitarist.
Yeah.
And they had this record label I remember called CTI. I don't know what it stood for, but it was jazz musicians that, and you guys sound like you do this kind of stuff. Like, this guy would release an album, and all these other guys would come over and in a studio and play with him and record this album, and then he'd release it with his name on it.
Yep.
And then the next guy, the drummer, would release one with his name on it, and everybody would play. You'd look at the credits and all the guys that were on there, and they did that stuff. Anyway, George Benson was, you know, jazz guitarist playing, and but he was, while he's there playing, I remember it was such a small venue that I could hear him singing. You know, he would do that do-do-do-do-do. So he's playing the guitar and he's playing jazz music and he's do-do-do-do-do along with the beat and the sound. Somebody must have stuck a microphone in his face and then he started singing, you know, because I don't know if you guys ever remember some of the songs he did. Was a lot of the singing was like him just like ad-libbing.
Totally random stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a scat solo.
Right,
like a
exactly.
Guitar. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it was this tiny little, I was like, I'll never forget that. It was the coolest thing. Mm. It was like, you know, and we had weird music back then too. Like, you guys have weird music now, but, you know, we had...
there's always weird music.
There's weird, and then there's
I went to
good
see,
weird.
Carlos Santana. Of course, everybody knows who Carlos Santana. Well, back then in the 70s, he was playing with a guy named John McLaughlin. And it was Carlos Santana and John McLaughlin and the Mahavishnu Orchestra. So it was this big, huge orchestra in the gym, you know, a gymnasium with McLaughlin on electric guitar and Carlos Santana on electric guitar. And you'd go in there and, you know, they were gone. I mean, you couldn't hear anything. So it made absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And it never really did very well. I don't, you know, I mean, as far as like... But here's two great, you know, gifted guitar players. I don't know what they were trying to... They were into the... That was back when everybody was doing the go to India and find your guru. And then you come back and start the Mahavishnu Orchestra. Yep. And it was like... I saw them live and, you know, that's one of those things where you kind of go, wow, that was weird.
Yep. You know, I don't get it.
You know, and back then it was like, well, I can't remember. I paid $20. It was like, geez, I can't believe I paid $20 for that, you know?
No,
but when you look back at it and go, you know, that was like history. Those guys were experimenting or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
They were messing around with stuff. They were tweaking it, you know? And now, I don't know, it's exciting for me, like as an older person, to see Carlos. He's amazing. I mean, he's a great musician.
Yeah.
And I think he's done exactly...
Where's the pizza?
He's melted with the your generation.
Our generation knows who he is.
You watch those. I don't know about you guys, but all those live performances with, you know, the guy from
Matchbox 20.
And Dave Matthews and Norah Jones, and you know, they're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
If you see him live, you know, I see him on TV, you know, you get to watch it on TV, but I couldn't imagine, it would be a great concert. You just go there and
it would be.
Wow. And he's, you know, guess what? Again, he's surrounded by, for me, when I watch it, I'm watching the drummer, the congo player, the bass player, and they're all just smiling. Mm-hmm. They got a big shitty grin on their face, and they're having a good time, and they're playing music,
the musicians,
and it sounds incredible, you know, and it's like, I hope that doesn't go away. You know, I hope that
it
comes
won't.
Back.
I mean, there's hardcore people like, you know, like I wouldn't say hardcore, but there's people like us that like to go see shows and like to see musicians
right.
play. You know,
right.
not like just a band. We like to see musicians playing collectively.
Right.
You know, we can understand the difference between, okay, these guys know what they're doing on that instrument versus, oh, these guys are just playing their song.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I was saw one concert and I was like, this dude was looking at his fingers while he's playing. You know, I'm like, you're like made it to this level where you're touring and all these people are coming to see you, paying $30 to see you. I think you should be able to look into the microphone and not be staring at your fingers to make sure you're hitting the right
what you need to hit.
Right. Maybe you need to practice a little more.
I'm telling you, I was like, man, that's man. So right practice. Then and there, I was like Jerry Seinfeld on it, like, this shit.
So are we talking about old times, like with you, that you were the jazz director at the
Portland
type
of thing? No, we didn't get there.
No, we weren't getting into that.
We didn't get to that.
No? Well, so we had great bands at SUNY Cortland. We had Bonnie Raitt.
The college scene's still huge.
I'll bet it is.
College scenes are still huge. That's where live music is still living.
It's probably really good, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. David Bromberg there. Remember, he got so drunk that night at Cortland, he was playing his guitar with a Jack Daniels bottle.
Right. Slide guitar with a Jack Daniels bottle.
Sweet. Yeah. That's real blues right there.
He did that a lot. He was blues.
That's real blues.
Big time blues.
That's man blues. Mm-hmm. No. Jack Daniels blues.
I would have paid to see it. I would give my left leg, you know, to see some a lot of those concerts, like Al Green in his heyday.
Oh yeah. I never saw Al Green. Well, we saw Billy Joel for free.
Oh really?
At school, all by himself, just on a piano.
Wow.
It was free.
That was something. You know, that's history. You know.
Yeah.
I wish I could have got to see some of that.
I would have.
My father-in-law and my mother-in-law got to see Al Green. They said for $5.
Yeah, Al Green. That would be good.
Oh man, I would.
I didn't see a lot of hip or, Motown people. I love Motown, but I didn't get to see a lot of them live.
I would have loved to, man. Yeah. Just all over the spectrum. I would have liked to seen a lot of different artists. But nowadays, it's like I was watching a Sinbad special, and he was like, "What does this generation have that they're gonna see when they get old?" He said, "Right now, I can go out and still see the Shy Lights." Or I can still go see, you know, the Temptations or, you know, any of those groups. He said, who are y'all going to look at, you know, 30, 40 years from now? He's like, Jay-Z? He's like, he going to be 60 years old talking about getting low?
Interesting thought.
You know? I know, like, who are we going to be watching? Beyonce? You think she'll be singing 30 years from now?
Eminem?
Yeah.
Nope.
Going to be sitting around cash and, you know, counting their money.
Yep. It's different now.
Mm-hmm.
Different now.
Yep, it's way different.
There's still bands though.
Who?
There's still bands killing it.
I know you still like the White Stripes and Jack
White.
White
Stripes. Yeah, guys. Man, Jack White, he's an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a new musician, but he's an old soul.
Have you hit your dad to any of that?
No, probably not. Oh yeah, when at the party at Serbian Christmas last year, when I said let me take the CD player for a second.
Ooh, and that's I hooked up the iPod,
and I pressed play on "Ball in a Biscuit" by the White Stripes, and we got a neighbor, and he's a hilarious, he's a hoot.
And you guys were that's what.
And he was.
You can call him by name.
Mr. Karaitza, Dave Karaitza. He's
not Jesus.
It's "Ball in a Biscuit." It's like an 8-minute, just drum and blues song. Like drum, guitar, and just blues. And it's just ripping with solos in it. It's got like 5 minutes of guitar solos in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Dave just getting a broom, and he was just going.
Doing air.
He never heard a song in his life. And I'm like, this song came out like 8 years ago. You know what I mean? And it's got that old
feel to
and
it,
it's about the performance, you know what I mean? Because it's Jack White playing guitar, Meg White playing drums, and it's just blues, and then they just go. So yeah, I mean, that it won't die, just like vinyl.
Yeah.
Everyone said is gonna get phased out. It's actually like been revitalized. Like there's such a subculture for vinyl nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Even new bands, like you could get the Arcade Fire, which is Rolling Stone's best album of last year. The Arcade Fire, you can get that on vinyl. They still press it to vinyl because people are still buying vinyl. So, you know, live music will never go away. It'll just have to evolve, you know what I mean? It'll have to figure out how it's going to fit in the 2010s.
I don't know why I don't, you know, I should listen to some of that stuff, but I don't.
I hip you.
We got tons of vinyl.
I got bands you need to listen to. Crusaders album.
Yeah, after hearing this Crusaders, I got an album, if you never heard it, called Robert Randolph and the Family Band. You'll love it.
Yep,
God plays a slide guitar, and it's like you'll love it. I'll send it to Jason.
Yep.
Send it to you. It's I mean, I will buy a copy, and then and mail it to you.
Right, you will pay for it.
I will purchase and pay for it,
and then I will send it to you. FBI, get off my back.
So
all right. So
the cat's out. We did I let my dad pick the CD for this week.
Yeah.
The Crusaders, and it's Rural Renewal, not Revital.
Yeah,
Rural
I misspoke. Renewal.
I got it.
Renewal.
I found it. Rural Renewal. But we'll come back and hit that right after this brief pause.
Okay. Woo, we're going to have some fun tonight.
Yeah, man.
Hey,
all right.
Don't forget your wallet this time. I'm not paying.
I got it.
For you.
I got my wallet. All right, Pops, we're heading out. Going out.
Hey, don't forget to give him his
beer. Going out.
You know, before you guys leave, I want to make sure you're safe and and
oh, okay,
give you some fatherly advice.
Oh, thanks. Right? Okay.
I never had a father.
You know, don't use condoms. Oh, you don't need a helmet when you're skateboarding or riding your bike or skiing, or don't wear a helmet. You know.
Okay.
It's okay to drink and drive. You know, you guys, I mean, you're probably better drivers drunk than 80% of the people are sober. And in Utah, most of the 80% that aren't drunk are probably on Prozac, so they don't know what the hell's going on anyway. And then on your credit cards, you know, you don't need to pay like extra. That's a fallacy. Just pay the minimum every month and you'll be fine. And if, you know, when you're out with your girlfriend or your buddies and, you know, at the restaurant, you don't need a tip. Those people make enough money. They don't need a damn tip. And this one's really good. I got this from just recently from a gentleman I just met, and it's a great advice. Is as long as you owe a friend money, he will never be broke. I love that one. That's great advice. And okay,
thank you.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, I guess, Jay, it's okay to live in, you can live in the basement as long as you want, you know. You don't have to move out ever. That's not necessary. That's a fallacy. And it was okay that you know, you breastfed till you were 10. That was okay. If somebody tells you that's not good, that's all right. And that's, you know, that's just a few of the things that I've learned in my life. Passed on.
Wow.
It's good.
Thanks, Dad. Some
good advice.
I like You're welcome.
All right.
Yeah.
I like the no condom thing, though.
All right. Good.
Sweet. I don't use them anyway, so. You ready to go?
Let's go. So, and welcome back. Jason'sBasement.net. Jason'sBasementBNC@gmail.com.
.com.
That's how you contact us. We're back. We're going to be talking about The Crusaders. Rural Renewal is the name of the album. It was
Revival?
Released in 2003. Renewal.
Renewal.
It was released in 2003. Now, for those who don't know, The Crusaders' discography is absolutely massive. Under the name The Crusaders, I think there's like, I looked it up, it's like 30-something entries.
Not bad.
Under the name The Crusaders. That's not The Crusaders, like, with vocals.
Right.
Or, like, members of The Crusaders. That's just released as The Crusaders. And what, they've been around since 70s?
Oh, yeah. Joe Sample's like 65. Mm-hmm. He's a keyboard player.
Yep.
He's like 65. I think all those guys are pretty old. Yeah, they've been around.
All pushing 70.
Yeah. And, yep, they've been around a long time. I didn't get turned on to them until later in late 70s. Actually, when we moved to Utah.
That's when you?
Yep. And, I've been a fan ever since. I have never seen them live. Obviously, I don't think they play live anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't. But bands like that, I guess, because there's so many. It was kind of like one of those jazz things you were talking about. I'm sure they just all keep making music and they just keep pushing it out.
Yeah,
and
they go with other people.
Yeah,
they go help somebody.
So they're making
here
royalties because they're putting out so much music that they're getting paid off
help
royalties.
Right.
You know, they play on other people's albums and they bounce around.
So I mean, they're probably most popular, and it's been covered actually by a couple people, was Streetlight.
Yeah.
Counting Crows, I think, even did a cover of it in
probably
recent time. But yeah, so Rural Renewal.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I was really excited about the title because I'm very into blues, dirty, southern, rural type music. But then after a listen, I was a little let down because it's very clean.
Right.
It doesn't have that dirt, southern, you know.
I disagree.
It's very clean sounding.
Okay.
I can hear the blues. They're obviously playing blues ideas and things like that, and I can hear that. And I love the organs.
Yeah.
The organ sound. That very first track, just that little organ, little roll.
And Clapton is playing
and guitar on that. And there's blues and stuff on it. But I guess I wanted a dirtier sound. I wanted it to sound a little dirtier.
Well,
it sounded
very clean. And then the vocal song.
Yeah, he sounds...
The one with the, like the...
Sing a song or...
Yeah. And it's got like the choir. The choir. The
that's very Southern.
That's a little gospel. Gospel. That one's good. I love that one.
That's what I kind of thought the whole thing was going to be.
I actually tried to get when your sister was a senior.
Yeah.
In high school and in the choir, I tried to get your old music teacher
to pick that song up.
Pick that song up and have the whole choir
do
it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but you know that didn't happen. Yeah, and that would have been fun.
It's too much. It's too much for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now my opinion right off the bat. Now it made me homesick. Because I'm from Texas, so I can go out on any night of the week and I can hear something resembling of this. You know, like just a musician playing somewhere, some blues-influenced rock, any night of the week. So immediately after I heard it, I was homesick. I was like, man, I haven't been able to go. Because, like, this is the kind of music where you would go out to have a dinner somewhere, and then you would go walk down the street. Well, from my experiences on 6th Street, then I would walk down and... to a place like 311 or the Elephant Room or whatever place, and you go in and sit down with your date, have a couple of drinks, and watch some people up on the stage playing.
In a smoky or dark bar.
Yeah, a smoky bar, you know, and like let everybody play, maybe.
Was it really loud?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, so could you still converse with your
cool thing about it. This is my trick now. Now, I would take the girls out to this for the simple purpose that I could lean close and whisper
talk
close to them. Smooth. Where they have to be close to me.
Smooth. That should be, you could include that in fatherly advice.
Fatherly advice, okay.
Well, no, that's that fatherly advice.
That's good advice.
You don't want to give to your little one when he gets bigger.
I got some advice for him, but I'm waiting till he's about 18. Yeah. I got some things to tell this young man.
Right.
Anyway, so all you youngsters out there who are wondering what to do, the best way is to take a girl on a nice date, pay Dutch, because this is 2011.
And women like to be treated as equals.
Yes. So go Dutch. That way she don't feel like she owes you something and you don't feel like you need something for something
this is true.
And take her to a really loud music place so you can lean over and get close to her.
Exactly.
That's good. I like it. Full of something.
I was excited that Clapton was on it, but it almost wasn't even like if nobody even said it was Clapton, I wouldn't even have known.
Right.
You know.
Right.
When I think of Clapton, you know, the Cream and he's gotten soft. He's old.
Right.
He put out how many albums? You know what I mean? He's obviously not doing cocaine anymore. Right. He's not doing shredding. He's not touring with the Yardbirds.
The best music was.
So it's like I understand. I understand he's not harsh anymore. I understand he's not in that gritty. But it just wasn't. It wasn't Clapton.
It's almost one of those things where he was helping them out.
Yeah.
You know, put his name on it.
Totally.
They kind of got together. You know how those old bands.
What are you
doing
tomorrow?
You know, they hadn't played, they hadn't released anything in a long time. They all been on their own, and it was like, you know, we ought to get together and
with the old guys again, the whole group again. Let's do it again. And then one of the guys is like, hey, you know, Clapton's at my house this weekend.
Maybe he was
maybe he can come through for a couple sessions.
Or maybe he was playing on his album somewhere.
Yeah, and they were just like, hey, you want to
like the bass player? Because they're all seasoned veterans.
It was good. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And what it really did, actually, was it made me go, I got to get you some tunes, man.
Right.
Because this is not the Crusaders that my dad and my mom showed me growing up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. The Crusaders I know growing up is very soul, very... the horns played a bigger role, I feel like, and they're just a little bit more... It's not disco.
I think they might have been missing one of the horn guys on that.
From that album?
Yep.
On that new one?
And, you know, he might have been like one of the ones that got real famous. And I can't remember. I kind of lose track.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, the thing about it, you know, for my generation is, you know, whenever we entertain people for dinner or whatever, have it at the house, I stick that CD on or any... I have a lot of jazz music, mm-hmm. and I stick that, or put it on like a six changer CD. Put six different old jazz, and then put that one in there with it. And people come up, they always at the party are like, "Who's this? who's this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's Crusaders, you know? And they were like, really? Well, can I see it? You know, and you show them a CD cover. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun. That's what's great about music. Yeah.
It's that conversation. Truth. It's that truth. Yeah. It's like people know when they hear it. They're like, oh,
that's wow, that's cool. Pretty what good. Is what is yeah. that? You know?
Because usually all day long you're hearing whatever this pop stuff on the elevator when you're walking in the right. supermarket or we right. at the gym. You're hearing all kinds of nonsense, and then when somebody sits down and plays something that's nice and easy with musicians that know what they're doing, and you right. listen to it.
It resonates. It instantly registers. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And I even do that with, you know, when I hear some of the hip-hop stuff, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, who's that? You know, mm-hmm. I want to know who that is.
Yeah, it sparks you know. A little bit of interest. So, yeah. yeah. So
that's what's great about music. It does that. Yeah. No matter, you know, my brother... He listens to stuff that I
Everything.
Can't.
Man,
he's
like crazy.
6 years older than me.
He's crazy.
And then he keeps up with the you know the current stuff where I don't. You know, I'm still trapped in my 70s stuff. Or
yeah, you know, I feel like I'm at a point where now I'm not progressing anymore. Yeah, it's like right. okay, from this period to this period,
right.
I know all about it.
Right. But after
from
that,
here to there, I'm like from here to now, I'm like, yeah. I'm done.
If I gotta stamp it. I give it 4 dryer sheets. And the only reason I'm not giving it a 5 because it's one, the Eric Clapton let me down because I wanted some blues. You know, I thought he would bring right. a little dirt to it. And then again, when I saw the cover, that shack, black right. and white, all run down, right. I thought it was going to be dirtier. I thought there was going to be just a little bit
polished.
More.
It was very polished.
It was very clean. It was yeah. recorded on fair. I mean, they, but that's. Understandable because mm-hmm. they're musicians, you know, they want that clean, very polished. They're obviously doing it for the craft. They want
so this may be hear. This may be an engineering thing.
Yeah, they
it
and I'm sure
not
they chose
necessarily
it.
Been the,
I'm sure
the
they chose
may
it.
Have been engineering thing.
They, I'm sure they chose it, but like when I think of rural renewal, and again, that's just my mindset approaching it because, like I said, I'm really into Jack White, mm-hmm. and he records on like a tin can microphone, and he's just he sounds like Muddy Waters,
right?
Like on a busted microphone. That's what I was kind of. I thought there was gonna be slide and that dirty,
right?
Southern sound, mm-hmm. which it's there, but it's very clean.
It is clean.
It's very polished. It's Southern in a suit. It's Southern sound in a, dressed up in a suit, cleaned up.
Okay,
so it's 4.
That's
four,
a good assessment, but I give it 5 just because I'm an old guy and I needed to have some new music, and that was
yeah.
Of course, that was 2003.
Three.
That it was is last. Just, it's like that 9 was the last old. Time I bought a new CD. I think.
Okay. I'll give it 4. I'll give it 4. I dug it. Like I said, it made me homesick. And the one thing I really liked about it, first of all, my favorite song was Shotgun. What's that?
Shotgun? Yep, I know which one you're talking about.
Shotgun Funk House or something like that? Shotgun House Groove.
Shotgun House Groove.
That was my favorite. I was listening to that right before I came in. But Healing Coming On.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that right off the bat, I like that. And the first,
you know, you're almost looking for Aretha Franklin there.
Yeah, yep. Somebody, yep. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Totally.
I really like that song. What I will say about this is that I can recognize everybody's musicianship in that. Nobody's overly trying to take over. You know, it's just like
everyone's in their place.
And yeah, it's all in their place. They recognize, okay, I'm doing the groove, and this is where I'm going to be.
Right.
This is I'm going to do the guitar. This is where I'm going to be. I'm doing the drum. This is where I'm going to be. Everybody's yep. Right in their pocket, and it was just precise, and right. I liked it.
It's tight.
Yeah,
very so, tight.
Yeah.
So. What I would love to hear too is actually because you know bands like that. Some of those songs are in a 7-minute mark.
Right.
So I would love to hear the outtakes. I would love to hear this, because you know they played for
hours. Oh yeah, probably
hours.
15 minutes.
I would love
yeah.
to hear cut stuff that they
yeah.
that they cut out, mm-hmm. you know?
It's funny, you say, I go into my little pub where and they have one of those search jukeboxes.
Oh yeah, the one that's hooked up to
oh,
the
man,
internet.
Oh man, you know, all the old people in there, or even the young people, most of the young people, I'll go to the jukebox, and the first thing I'll do is I'll go get an old Crusader song, and I pop it in, play it, you know, and I go sit down, and everybody's like, who's that? What is that? What is that?
I'm telling
what
you.
What are you playing now?
Yep.
You're not playing Frank Zappa, are you? No, I didn't put any Zappa on.
I'm gonna have to start sending you something. You got the Robert Randolph, don't you?
Yep.
I thought I'd let you have that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I got, you need to check out Galactic. I'll give you the album.
Okay.
I got 2 copies of it. Ruckus.
Okay.
New Orleans.
Wow, new music.
New Orleans jazz band.
right?
Oh, you ought to give me, you ought to send me your pops an email that way I can send you some of the stuff.
They're
I got some old Buddy Guy and
right on,
and some I got a Muddy Waters album called Electric Mud. I don't know if you ever heard that.
Oh,
it's like Muddy Waters meets Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's wild.
I love Muddy Waters.
Yeah, on it's side wild. Note. He does. I mean, it's like, I would say it's like Muddy Waters on acid. It's just weird.
Right.
But it's like rocky, but it's good. Good. It's good, yeah.
So, Jason, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Jason, 4 out of 5. Hard ass brown.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Okay, so certified good. So, all you people out there who like musicians, and likes musicians.
Yep.
And are into the whole artistry of music and without, you know, being overwhelmed by the lead singer or
and the image, like, and you know, it's not visual, it's not about like the lead singer and the fashion, it's just mm-hmm. if you like music,
yeah,
without a bunch of extra crap on yeah. the side,
music, right. a good yeah. groove, something very rhythm driven.
Yep,
if you like that, go pick it up.
That organ, man, the organ sound, I would kill for that. Yeah, organ.
He's good.
I'm sure he's on a, I think he's on a Hammond, a B3.
Oh, would kill
I,
for
kill, I would kill.
That's pretty bold.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. All right, last segment here. Let's like get into the like it or smite it. Here we go. Yes.
Like it or smite it. Okay, who's gonna go first? Should we give the guest?
Holy cow.
Putting you on the spot?
Yeah, you put me on the spot.
Okay, I'll go first. No, I'll go first.
You go first.
Okay. All right. Like it or smite it. State-specific billboards.
Explain that.
You know, Wyoming. Visit the... Or the cornerstone of... What is it? Cornerstone of... Yellowstone.
Devil's ass crack, what?
Yeah.
It's the, you
Cornerstone
know,
of Yellowstone.
The,
yeah.
Whatever. The
first
state,
national.
Whatever. Park. These state represented billboards to try to increase travel to these states.
I'm going
to
say you smite it by the way you explained it.
Yeah, I think you're smiting
it.
I agree.
Doesn't sound enthusiastic at all.
Absolutely.
Smite it.
I absolutely
okay,
smite it.
What do you smite?
Well, here's the thing. It's funny. I want to see some state representative billboards that are true to their state.
Jersey smells like balls and looks like ass.
Yes, this is what I want to see. This is what I want to see. Texas, we execute retards.
Mm-hmm. Texas, no gays, no.
We no got gays, guns for no queers. Liberals. Better like Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to see.
Wow, you guys are harsh.
Yeah, I want to see. I want to see legit. I want to see legit state billboards. California, please stop moving here.
What did Daniel Tosh say about San Francisco? More ass fucking than per square foot than any other city.
Because there's so many gays. Oh man. Yeah. So I want to just see. I want to see. I don't want your state to be polished. You know, we gotta love you for your flaws. Florida, we fucked everything up.
Yeah. How about New York? Keep an eye on your wallet.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to see legit. I don't want you to lie to me. Wyoming, we don't have much. You know, like that's what it
rocks
should say.
Rocks and trees.
Well, when I was growing up, you know, New Jersey was, you know, 12 miles of universal fart.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, bay, you know,
the bay
where all the refineries and stuff
oh,
are.
Yeah,
because the smell, you can smell. It just smells bad.
Terrible.
It smells terrible.
It smells terrible.
Told you. Yeah. Looks like ass. Smells like balls. There you go.
Minnesota.
Jersey, change that.
Minnesota. Quit lying. It doesn't get warm. You know,
right. The Minnesota, home of the hot dish.
Just no more polishing. Give me legit real
right.
state situations. I want to know.
Utah.
You can't
can
do
a couple
crap
more
here.
Wives if you want.
Yep, see, that's what I want. I want
it's
legit.
All amore.
I want it legit. I don't want you to lie to me. I don't, Nevada. We all know why you're here. Right. Nevada got nothing going on but Vegas. You know, what are they going to say on their state billboard?
Mississippi, niggers turn around. Matter of fact, go north.
Go very far away.
above the Mason-Dixon.
So yeah, that's what I want. I don't
Kentucky,
want
Kentucky. What's a dentist?
Right. Okay.
Dentist what?
I'm just playing, Kentucky. We love you up here.
Yeah, we love Kentucky.
Yeah. Who else we got to make ourselves feel better?
I don't know. Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
End of story.
Yeah. Question mark. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I've never even said Rhode Island outside of high school.
Yeah, I don't think they don't have much going on.
Nah, don't blink.
Yeah, exactly. Same with like Delaware, all those other
12 miles
states up there, where it's just like you couldn't just become one. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you? I guess because if they became one, we'd have to change the number of stars on the flag, and that would just cost money. And then we would
North Carolina, smoke them if you got them. Tobacco row, you know.
And why is it that crappy illegal? But anyway, we can get off into that.
Nah.
All right.
Okay, so you go ahead.
Oh, my bad. Okay, here we go. Glee.
The TV show?
Yes.
Glee.
Glee the TV show.
Glee, yeah.
You absolutely smite it.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think you like it.
It's like, I don't like it, but I like it.
See?
It's such a gay-tarded thing that I've ever seen. And that's the word I'm using now, because it's not politically correct to say gay anymore, and it's never been politically correct to say retarded.
So if you put them together, it's a new thing.
And made a new word, gay-tard.
Oh, I see.
It's okay. Guitarded.
You like it. That means you like it.
All right, we'll just keep it like, I like it for the sense that the people who like it, it lets me know a little something about them. When they like
it's a barometer.
Yeah, it's like, it lets me know where you are on... You know,
the hierarchy of conversation.
Yeah, I'm just talking about predator prey, kind of. You know, the whole that little point right there lets me know if something breaks out, you're going to be the person that pisses themselves and falls down in the corner somewhere. Meanwhile, I will run away. You're if you like Glee, then chances are you're not very. If zombies were to break out right now, and you like Glee. You would be ass meat. I would get away.
I see.
It's like there's something wrong with you if you like Glee. I'm going to say this out loud. I think there's something wrong with Glee.
Okay. I've never watched it either, but I know what it is.
But I like it. Because, like I said, it lets me know who's going to be ass meat.
I totally understand.
If zombies break out.
That's why I like Paris Hilton.
Oh my God.
But this is why. Because if I'm ever having a conversation with somebody and I don't know them and they introduce Paris Hilton into the conversation, I know that I do not need to continue this conversation because you like Paris Hilton. So wow. That means we are done. So I don't need to continue with anything barometer. Else that we're doing. It's my barometer. It goes, oh, you were intelligent and then Paris Hilton. Oh. No.
So sad.
No.
I thought you were cool for a minute.
Yep, right. For a second. No.
It's like, and did you know that fans that like Glee are called Gleeks?
Gleeks. Yep. When you gleek out.
You didn't know that?
Well, I'm sure he doesn't even know what the show is.
I've kind of cruised past it.
Yeah.
You know, stopped for a second and said, wow, this is really stupid.
Yeah.
And then kept going.
So you're not a musical person. Yeah. I are you a musical person?
I like... Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, there's stuff like Hairspray, that one show when they did 60s music. And
Mamma Mia. I love Mamma Mia. We watch Mamma Mia.
I guess there's certain, I'm not a musical, there's certain musicals.
Right.
But the one, I don't like people breaking into song. That's kind of weird. It messes the whole thing up to me. But they call them gleeks, and that's like,
when I was a kid,
being able to spit out of your mouth.
Yeah, when you do that. Tongue, when you gleek.
We can spit on command.
The Wonderful Love and Fiance, she can gleek.
On she command. Can?
She does it all the time. We'll be sitting there watching TV and all of a sudden just, what are you doing?
She's doing it purposely?
Yeah, she just gleek right on me. Like,
she can do that?
Yeah, she can do, where you curl your tongue.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You curl your tongue up and it just shoots like a little stream.
Leslie!
Do you know what, you know
Leslie.
What
I'm talking
about? Uh-huh. A little drop comes shooting out.
She can do that?
Yeah, she can do it just like that.
You want to see it?
Yeah. You don't believe it?
That's how immature I am. I'm, all right, we'll see that later. Okay.
Okay.
Hard ass.
So now, all right. Airline travel.
Airline travel.
Oh, yeah.
I got this.
Let me think.
You smite it.
Smite it.
Yeah, I guess so. Smite it. You know, absolutely. I just love, you know, how Americans, no, people in general, just, they pay attention to instruction really well.
Yeah.
You know?
And what they don't understand is they're just pissing everyone off.
Yeah.
It's always the third of the people. It's always the third of the people that don't listen.
Two-thirds. Yep. I think it's two-thirds. There's only about three people paying attention.
And those are the pissed off people.
I'm
in
one
the
of them.
Yep.
Like, he's some bitches. Won't y'all sit down?
The guy behind me was, there was two of us paying attention. And he was right next to me. He's like, we're looking and we're watching these people. Because they said, you know, okay, people with children under five and people that need assistance board the plane now. And you see, like, 10, 15 businessmen and families, you know, that have, you know, they're not supposed to be up there. And they go up and they give their ticket to the guy and he goes, no, you're not supposed to be boarding now. You know?
Nobody paying attention.
And the guy behind me is going, you know, he goes, who's supposed to be boarding now? I said, well, not those turkeys, but they're not paying attention. But
and, ridiculous.
That's what I think people should be able to carry, like Home of the Clown. Remember that? In
Living Club.
Color? He had a pantyhose full of like socks or something.
You could whack him with it.
Bam! Blah! It's right on top of the head. It's like there's people in position.
Oh,
like,
we don't play
at
that
at the supermarket. Like, sir, that's 12 items. Whop!
Right. You need to be punished for not listening.
That's only 15. That's not even 50% tip. Blah!
Yep.
I think if people just got socked in the head,
wake them up.
Times,
just wake them up.
It will give you pause every time you get ready to do a douchebaggery kind of move.
Yeah, and then when they're getting off the plane, it's even crazier.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
Know? Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Like cows. They all, you know, they all get up and are mooing as they moo and
everybody converges,
bumping into each other. You know, just relax. And,
yeah,
chill out.
You know, wait your turn.
Yeah,
chill out.
Come on, this is America. Nobody wait their turn.
Okay, I got
now. My iPhone says I can get off the plane now.
I got one more.
Okay.
Bikers.
Bikers? Okay, which bikers?
Bikers.
Like on a bicycle bikers or the Harley Davidson bikers?
Bicycle bikers.
Okay, I'm going to say you like them.
Yeah, you like them.
It's a double.
Oh.
It's the like smite.
Trifecta.
Yep.
Like it.
I like it because you're biking. It's good.
Being good to the
heart.
I smite it because, again, we're downtown Minneapolis today. And we're walking. We are pedestrians. We are walking on the sidewalk. We're pedestrians. We belong on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening behind me? Bikers weaving in.
He came
weaving in out of me.
On the sidewalk.
Biker coming in here. He's weaving in out of me. Biker coming in. And I look over on the street. And what's on the street?
Bike lane.
Designated bike lane.
Yeah.
Get your ass off the sidewalk. Get in the bike lane.
Yeah.
Go where you're supposed to go.
I know why they're doing that. Because, like I said, there was one dude...
Nobody's paying attention.
Hit that side of that fender and did a...
Flip over.
Greg Louganis flip over the hood. That was hilarious, by the way.
But, yeah, man, it's making me mad. Because, I mean, Minneapolis is doing... The city is doing its part to respect bikers and give them... You know, there's bike lanes all through downtown. You can go from one end to the other... There's a sign. I saw an electric sign. It said, share the road. It's got a picture of a bike. It's flashing. There's lights. Get in the bike lane. We put it there for you.
Yeah.
We're walking. You know, they got headphones on, so they're not hearing. And
But see, the thing is, the bikers, they have a responsibility to ride in the street. And they have a responsibility to be watching the cars that are next to them. You have to have some almost like an ESP. Okay, I see a turn coming up here. This guy's slowing down.
Not paying
down.
Attention to me.
You know, he's slowing down or look like he's about to turn. Maybe I need to watch what he's doing.
Totally.
Or here's a turn coming up here. I got a car on my left. I need to make sure.
Drivers need to elevate their awareness, but bikers need to also respect the rules.
It's the biker's responsibility. All right, if you weigh less than the thing that can kill you,
you should
be paying attention to that.
True. You gotta make sure they know you're there.
Yes,
yeah,
true.
What pisses me off is like when I'm driving in Cubs, and you know that part right? You're driving in front of the front doors, people just walk out and automatically assume that I'm gonna stop.
Yeah.
They're walking.
Yeah.
I saw a girl today that we were downtown. You know, the lights. It doesn't say walk, and there's people waiting to turn right, you know, and sometimes it could be some little old lady. She's nervous. She's ready to turn right, and this girl with headphones on, she didn't even look over here to the left to make sure that the traffic actually stopped
and obeyed the law, because heaven forbid someone crossed
against the light. She just walked. I watched her. We were following her. She did that for like five or six. I mean, she's just like it's like Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of these times she's going to step out and somebody's going to just be happening to get nervous, or they're looking over here and they look over there and they're just going to go.
Boom.
You know, and I remember, you know, I tried to teach these guys when they were little. I mean, we had a busy street. Jason used to have to cross.
It's an 8-lane highway.
Yeah, to go to school.
8 lanes.
And it's like, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I get to the corner and I'm looking at this thing and it says wait, you know, wait. And then it turns walk. I look over here like this and make sure that clown in the car right there isn't turning right.
You look right at him, look him right in the face.
And if they're not looking at me, I'm going to wait a minute.
You're going to wait a second.
You know what I mean? If they're changing the radio or, you know, lighting a cigarette or, you know, eating a sandwich or, you know, not even looking at me, you know.
Yeah, looking on their phone.
I'm going to stand there for a minute, pause, and just go, okay, you know, I don't want to get, like you said, it's like, you know, that thing weighs, you know, 2 tons and I only weigh, well.
Oh, I weigh like 150.
150.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's what makes me so mad. People just cross the street like
everything.
Yeah, like, totally fine. You'll stop.
Assuming. I'm bad. I do it. The wonderful loving fiance gets on my case. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, they're going to stop. But I only do it on streets like out here.
Yeah.
Like on these little streets.
I pause a second.
So if you're listening out there, pay attention. Focus.
Focus
at the task at hand.
Yeah. What are you doing?
If you're driving, you should be driving.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you're walking, you should be focused on the walk.
If you're riding a bike, watch out. Yeah. You know, look out.
If you get into an accident while listening to this podcast, we told you focus.
And to pay attention.
And you know what? Sev, if you're listening, don't fill my inbox with a bunch of spam about biker stuff. Okay? Just be aware. Yeah. Just pay attention.
Pay attention.
Focus.
Oh, look out for the other guy.
He's a biker, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, that's
what
I thought.
Okay. What you got?
Me?
Yep.
Hold on. Locked screen. Here we go. Hand sanitizer.
Boy, that's a good one.
The peanut gallery.
You smite it.
I'm thinking you smite it.
I do smite it.
You do smite it.
Smite it.
Absolutely.
Wait. I do smite it. I smite it because I didn't have the foresight to invest in the stock market a few years ago.
On hand sanitizer?
In the hand sanitizer.
You just would like, be rich right
now. It's like cell phones, any other emerging market that I didn't have the foresight to invest in. Because if I'd have just put maybe $3 down...
In the
hand sanitizer, this market about 6 years ago, I will be paid right now, man.
Like, you got them everywhere.
Everywhere you go, you got hand sanitizer, some kind. I just wish I had the foresight to sometimes just invest.
What about that? What about the literature that says it's actually depleting our immune system?
Yeah.
It's actually starving.
I've seen that.
Well, because, as a young child, your immune system is being bombarded constantly by infections and viruses and things like that, and it builds a tolerance.
Right.
But if you kill all these infections and viruses before contact with the body doesn't build up these natural barriers for them. So later in life, they're prone to get sick more because their immune system has not developed to just stave off normal, everyday germs.
I got the answer to that. Have your child go to a ghetto daycare. True, they'll be a little more aggressive.
Maybe.
But, you know, ghetto kids are always carrying diseases because their parents don't care for them. Answer. Done. Solved.
But so there is a lot of literature that says the hand sanitizer actually like hurts your immune system because it can't build up natural immunities to everyday very small things that we've all already built up immunities to.
I know, but I mean, that's the media. You got you thinking there's some super bug out there that's going to kill you. You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I, you know, I was like...
I do like how you could have made some money, though.
I'm telling you, man. Like for my son, it's like, I don't know. We do the whole wipe his hands things down. Every time we go in the mall and he hangs out, I let him play. But like when we leave from one part of the mall, like if there's some attraction that we're playing around with, right when he leaves, I'll wipe his hands off. You know, but as in far as the daycare and stuff like that, he picks up all kinds of stuff or gets sick from there. But, and you know, because he got a good old. Anyway. So, yeah, I don't know.
At the ghetto daycare?
Yeah, the ghetto daycare. He got a couple kids in there. I walked in there the other day, and this kid comes up to me. What's up, cuz?
He's like, where are you, two?
2 years old. Hey, what's up, cuz? I was like, cuz? Somebody a Crip in your family? You calling me cuz? Somebody must be a Crip in your house.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, it's kind of funny. But, if I could go back with $100.
Hand sanitizer.
I would go back to 1991.
Okay.
And I would invest in Apple.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about money? The
stock had to be a dollar.
Yeah, you want to talk about money? You want to talk about money?
Stock had to be a dollar, man. Invest $100. You know how much money I would probably have right about now?
Insane.
Oh, I'd be just in buku dumb dollars.
Yep.
Oh, man.
You'd be buying dumb shit left and right.
Then I would take that money, flip that over to the hand sanitizer.
Dude, he'd be really good.
Pain! I would be so rich right about now. Anyway, but I just thought about that. So we need to be on the lookout for the next thing.
We already did it. Double exit airplanes.
Oh, shh. Don't give it away.
You're right.
Don't give it away.
I mean, that's a stupid idea. Who would ever do that?
Dumb idea.
I don't like the way it's on plane. Yeah. What are you talking about?
You got another one?
Smell other people's farts.
No, I'm good.
You got another one?
Hold on, let me see.
I'm just soaking it all in.
Where is it at? No, actually, I think I'm kind of good.
Oh.
You know what? A new thing we might need to invest in is a... So I'm giving my financial expertise here. I just bought a security system from a company, and it's wireless. So I know most of them right now are like Brinks or whatever. They go through your phone line.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they're going to start to go wireless now.
Well, we should be investing in that then.
That's one thing.
Phone app. You got an app for your security system on your phone?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Dang it. I thought that was the end.
Black-a-black-a-black-a-cow.
Oh man!
I can turn my on and off right
from here.
Oh boy!
Right here, I can watch, and they got it where you can put a camera in there. I can watch what my wife doing. Maybe sitting on the couch.
Yeah. Right. I need to do that at work so I can watch what the workers are doing.
I'm telling you, man.
They're partying right now because I'm not there.
Yeah, that's right.
Living it up.
That's right. Just like, you know, in that movie Toy Story, when all the kids leave, what do the toys do?
Yep.
They have a party, man. Yeah, when the boss is gone, everyone's having a party.
Jeez.
No, this is what's up, man. I can turn it on right now.
Right now. And your wife would be
scared of that car, right?
I'm telling you, man. Like, I mean, I ain't never seen it like this. That dude had me sold. So when he started talking, I said, wait a minute. How much a month? I ain't got to pay for this equipment. He's like, no. I was like,
done.
I'm shit, look it up.
Done.
I want it in writing, and I got him on tape just in case he want a trip. I record all them dudes that come over to my house, like, and they thought, well, you can do this. And, oh, really? Hold on. Say that again.
That's actually kind of smart.
I'm telling you.
Record it on your phone.
I record everything somebody comes in, or I'm talking to somebody, I record everything they say. So when they go, well, I've never said,
pick a cow. What did you say? Yes, you did
say. There it is.
Talk to the tape.
Modern technology.
Crazy. Yep. Well, I'm done.
Grifter's nightmare.
I'm done.
Hard ass, Jeff.
It's fun.
Pops, thanks for coming and hanging out. Jason's basement.
Yep.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. I kept my clothes on this time.
And you did. You weren't as wild as usual. No, that's good. Jasonsbasement.net.
My Eddie Haskell.
That's where we live. Jasonsbasementbnc@gmail.com.
Hit us up. You still got some photos that people need to send us.
Yeah, I need baggy pants, man. I want to see him.
Baggy pants, and what else was the other one?
A lone Asian man.
A lone Asian man. If you can find an Asian man by himself.
Standing by himself somewhere.
Anywhere.
We would love to see it.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing we were talking about.
So again, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Yes.
Got anything else you want to say to
It's fun.
To our 10 listeners?
It's great to be in Minneapolis. Never been to Minneapolis. Yeah. So,
really?
Glad the weather is just perfect for you.
The weather's just perfect.
Oh, it will be tomorrow. It will be tomorrow.
So is it?
Get ready for it, yeah.
All right.
Does the sun come out here at all ever?
That's why everyone's pissed around here.
Right. I didn't see too many pissed people today. It was fun downtown. I was commenting about, you know, downtown Salt Lake, kind of hated it. Smited. Downtown Salt Lake sucks. You know, it's just dead, man. There's not much going on. And, you know, we were downtown today and walking through the, what district?
The farmer's market.
Farmer's market. There were people everywhere. And, yeah, it was pretty cool.
In Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City.
So, Thursday.
There's farmer's market. There's Thursday.
Salt Lake City, man, the Mormon church has been destroying the downtown for about five. They're building some big, huge outdoor mall. I guess it'll be good when it's done. But it'll be closed on Sundays. Yeah.
And, closed on Sunday?
Yeah.
That's when you have your business. It's exactly. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
That's the Mormon church, though.
Yeah. But they've been working on this thing so long that, I mean, nobody goes downtown because
it's such a mess.
It's a freaking mess. You know, they tore out the mall that was there, and they tore out this other stuff. And I used to go downtown a lot and go shopping or whatever, but I don't ever go down there now. I mean, I stay away from Salt Lake downtown. But, you know, when it's all done, supposedly, hopefully it'll be better. But it's just great to have outdoor things going on down there. There were people playing on the street, music, and, yeah, there was a lot to do. There was a lot of hustle and bustle. I like that.
Yep.
That was cool.
Mormons.
Yeah. That's another subject.
You gotta get with it, man. Get with it. When they gonna let some black people in the Mormon church, man?
Well, they did, kinda.
I saw one commercial. You seen that commercial? That one black man was like singing. So why the black man gotta be singing?
Yeah,
and dancing.
He's always gotta be singing and dancing.
They just recently figured out that it was okay to
let black people.
I still laugh, man.
I want to say in the late 70s.
Yeah.
You know, they got this guy there that he talks to God.
Yeah.
Right.
The head.
Yeah. The head cheese.
They always talk to
God. And God told them that black people could be
okay.
Priests.
They
weren't allowed to be priests. They could be in the church, but you couldn't be. Then now
I still laugh.
Now we can be priests.
I still laugh when I meet a very serious black Mormon, because I'm like, that book you read, read it?
It says
right there that they have been cursed with black skin for their sins. I mean,
it's in the book.
Because there's in the old tribes, they were fighting. The two tribes were fighting. The one tribe were the white people.
Right.
The other tribe were the black people, and they were the bad sinner one. And I'm like, I don't care what yada 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 president says in the book. It still says you're a sinner. Like it just says it right there. So I don't care what he says. The thing that you base your faith upon still says, that's it. So, you know.
Yeah, at least in the Bible, you got to twist the facts around a little bit.
Right.
We don't got to
wordsmith it.
I think I read when we first moved to Salt Lake a long time ago.
You picked one up?
I read the first page because the missionaries
came. The Mormon?
Came,
Book of Mormon? Or
yeah, Book of Mormon. And then they came back. The missionaries came back to ask me how I liked.
Wanted
the
to check
book.
In with you.
And I said, you know, it sounds like this guy Joe Smith. I think he was eating some of those mushrooms.
Yeah.
He, you know,
find
and
some
I,
tablets
I,
in the ground. What?
I grew up in upstate New York. You know, there's some good mushrooms. If you find the right ones, you could see God.
Yeah.
You'll
know?
See something.
Yep.
You'll see something.
I don't know what you'll see, but it makes you want to write about it.
Yeah, you see something. Makes you write stuff down.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Gee whiz. Yeah, I don't know.
Well.
Oh, okay. That was the religious portion of our show.
Oh, Mormons.
On that note, jasonsbasement.net. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for being here. Wonderful. We will check in with you next time.
Deuces.
Thanks.
that.
Yeah.